We're going to talk for a while this evening on a subject that absolutely no one can agree on. And I have found that the earthly scholars can agree on this. I've also found that the Bible scholars can agree on this. And the question we're going to talk about is it ever right to lie? Is a lie ever wrong? We can go to the, and we're going to discuss this, because most people when they talk about this, they go back to talk about Rahab, and they talk about the lie that Rahab made, and they make their conclusions drawn on the way this came out. So that's where we're going to start as well. We're going to talk about Rahab, and we're going to talk about the fact that she did lie, and there's no doubt that she lied, and she was blessed for her lie. So was she blessed because she lied, or was she blessed in spite of the fact that she lied? Now, the Bible does make some statements about lying. But yet again, this is something that there is some controversy over. It was just before the fall of Jericho, and Joshua had sent a couple of spies into Jericho, and he sent them into Jericho so that they could make an assessment of Jericho by how strong it was, if they could take it, so that they could know what they were meeting with when the Jews went in to take this city. They wanted to assess the strength of the city. The spies went in, and they were put up in the house of Rahab. Rahab, the Bible tells us, was a harlot or a prostitute. This is the way she made her living. But Rahab was also someone that had heard about the Jews. They had heard about God. They had heard about Moses and these children of Israel. And she was very familiar with the Jews. She was familiar with the victories. And she was familiar that they had a God that was stronger than anything that they had. She understood God, and she had faith in God. When she took the two spies in, she hid them on a roof, and she covered them with straw and covered them with flax. She made an agreement first with the spies, though, that if she would hide them and she would protect them, that when the walls of Jericho came down and the Jews were taking the city, the agreement was that she and her family would be spared that the rest of the city did not have. And this was the agreement that the spies had with Rahab, that when the city was destroyed, she and her family would be spared. After she hid them, the men of the city, representing the king of the city, came and knocked upon the door, asking about the whereabouts of the two spies. Obviously, they were going door to door. It said that the woman took the two men and hid them, and she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. But if you pursue them quickly, possibly you will be able to overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. It was a blatant, bold-faced, flagrant lie. She knew where the men was, but she had told them, "No, I do not know. I saw him go out the gate. You need to go chase him and chase him quickly." But the rules and the bargain that the two spies made with Rahab, God took care of this. He honored this. And when the walls of Jericho fell, Rahab and her family were spared. Now, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, verse 31, and in the 2nd chapter of James, verse 24 and 26, both the Hebrew writer and the writer of James both praised Rahab for her faith. So now we have the critics that step in. And they criticize the Bible and they criticize God, and they say this is a contradiction because she lied, and yet here we are in Hebrews and James, and they are commending this woman for her lie. And they ask, how can God command against something and then bless one that is told this bald-faced lie? So the question is, did God bless Rahab because she lied? Does it teach that it's permissible to lie under certain conditions? Or is there a goal of greater good up here and a goal of lower good down here? Are there two levels that we need to deal with? What greater good is to be served? Now, we must admit, and the Bible admits, that Rahab did lie. It was a bold-faced lie. And we also know that God blessed her because he honored the agreement that was made. And we also know that both the Hebrew writer and the writer in James praised Rahab for the faith that she had. So the question we need to determine, did God bless her as a direct result of her lie? And is lying something that is situationally determined? And that's what we're going to talk about for a while tonight. Is it sometimes all right to lie? Let's go to Heavenly Father in word of prayer. What does the Bible teach us about lying? That is probably the very best spot to start. What does the Bible say about lying? Well, lying in the Bible is universally condemned. It's condemned in the Old Testament, and it is condemned in the New Testament. And the ninth commandment that God gave the children of Israel said, "You shall not bear false witness." Now, this is talking about bearing false witness, lying under oath, maybe a courtroom type scenario. But he said, "You shall not lie when you give testimony." But Leviticus 19 and 11, the Bible says, "You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another." So the Old Testament condemned lying completely and totally. In Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, there's seven abominations listed that God hated. Of these seven abominations that were listed, two of them talked about lying. One of them was a lying tongue, and the other one was a false witness who speaks lies. In Ephesians, in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 25, the writer says, "Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbors, for we are members one of another." And then in Colossians, chapter 3, and verse 9, it's very, very plain. The Bible says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." So the Bible, and the writings of the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, both state that lying is wrong, that lying is a sin, and that lying is not acceptable. It is forbidden that one lie. There are no exceptions listed to this commandment. There are no conditions that said lie just in case of this, to give an example, but it says you shall not lie. Do not lie one to another. And then Revelations 21 and 8 kind of puts the icing on the cake when it says the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the Bible universally, totally, completely condemns lying. It forbids lying, and it gives no exceptions to lying. As we get back to look at Rahab, though, and the lie that she told, we need to look at it a little bit to see just exactly why there are contradictions and why people claim that there are contradictions and why the critics are unable to understand this. I think the first thing that we need to realize is when these two spies came to Rahab, she put them on the roof and she covered them up. The spies never asked Rahab to lie for them. The condition that they made, that the compromise that they made with them, that if she would protect them, that God would protect her and her family, there was nothing mentioned about a lie. God did not command that she lie so that she might receive this protection. The decision to lie was a decision that Rahab made on her own. It was not by the plan or the design of God, nor was it by the plan or the design of the two spies. She did not lie in order to obey God. She did not lie to exhibit her faith in God, and she did not lie to cement this agreement that they had for her safety. It was her decision to lie, and it was her decision, a lie. Now, as the critics would say that even though she lied, that God blessed her, so obviously God must have blessed her in this lie, again, is an error. Because she was not blessed as a result of her lie, but she was blessed, in fact, in spite of her lie. The two New Testament passages that talk about this, both Hebrew and James, they do not commend her for her lying. They commend her for the faith that she exhibited in God. Hebrews 11:31 said, "By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she received the spies with peace." She displayed faith in God. She knew who God was. She had heard about Him. She knew that He was that he was invincible. She knew that the armies of the Israelites were crushing all of the armies of those that opposed him. She believed in the spies. She believed in God. She received the spies. She hid the spies because of God and because of the belief that she had in God. And her words to the king had nothing to do with this lie that she had to the king's men. Had nothing to do with this commendation. She lied to protect these men because of the faith that she had in God. And James, in his writing, in James 2 and 25, said that she was justified by works when she received the messengers. Nowhere in either one of these two scriptures do we read anything that would suggest even that she was commended or spoken approvingly of because she lied, because it's never mentioned. Hebrews said that she was commended by the faith that she had in God. And James talks about the works that she did by hiding the men and protecting them. But nowhere in either one of these passages does anyone ever suggest or imply that she was commended because she lied. She was commended because of her faith. She was commended because of her righteous works. And she was approved of by God because of the faith that she had in God. So, what she is commended for is for her faith, and which prompted her to deliver the spies and to protect the spies. She was not commended because she lied. She was justified by her faith and not by the fact that she told a lie to the king's men. Had that been, James would have written, she was justified by her lie. But instead, he said she was justified by her works, and her works was evidence in the faith that she had in God Almighty. Now let's look at it a little different way. Let's consider who Rahab was. Let's consider where she lived. Let's consider her lifestyle. Let's consider her occupation. She lived in a pagan lifestyle. She lived in a pagan country. She had no moral persuasion. She was not godly. She was not a righteous person. By her occupation, she lived a sinful life and was a sinful purpose. There were many sins in the life of Rahab. So why would we be amazed when we learn that Rahab, on top of all the other things that she did, that she would lie? The case of Rahab is an example of where God honored a person due to their obedient faith in spite of a personal character flaw. And personal character flaws, Rahab had a bunch of them. She was not saved because she lied. She was saved because she believed and acted upon her faith. And we are also led to believe that probably when she was saved and when she was protected and when she did learn of God and became part of this, that she cleaned her life up and cleaned the way that she lived and began to live again for God. The fact that she's later listed in the list of faithful people, this is in Hebrews 11, seemed to imply that she probably did change her lifestyle and learn to apply God's law more extensively to her own, which means she did not stay in the sinful state that she was here in Jericho. So, as others that are mentioned in Hebrews 11, the writer seems to imply here that whose lives were lived according in a whole, she was obedient and faithful, and it takes out this instance of when she lied. She did tell a lie at one point in her life. We know it. It's recorded. There's no way to deny it. But the righteous living and the acceptance of God was something that made her life as a whole faithful, which is the reason she was mentioned faithful in Hebrews 11. You know, in Hebrews 11, it also talks about other people of faith. And they were named by name as people of faith. One of them was Noah. Well, we know what Noah happened when he got off the ark and he got drunk with his daughters. And we know the problems that caused. So we know that Noah was a faithful member, but Noah's drunkenness caused a lot of problems. We know that Moses struck the rock after God told him to speak to it. But yet Moses was considered as a faithful member of God. We know that Abraham deceived Abimelech. What Abraham did was he lied to Abimelech. But yet, Abraham is still considered as a faithful person. And King David not only committed adultery, but then he murdered the woman's husband to try to protect himself, but yet David is considered as a faithful person. Rahab lied, but the rest of her life was lived in faithfulness, and she was considered in Hebrew 11 as a faithful person. So is it always wrong to lie? Or sometimes it all right to lie? There are some that saying lying would not be wrong under a certain circumstance. Now, there's a term for this. It's called graded absolutist. Never heard this before, but it's a term. It's graded absolutist. The graded absolutist believes that there are many moral absolutes in the Bible. One of these moral absolutes is lying. But they say that sometimes when the Bible comes in contradiction or in conflict with each other, and moral laws are in conflict, that you have a higher law and you have a lesser law. And that you should always follow the higher law, even if it means that you sin to a lower law. They believe that the higher moral laws that are taught in the Bible must always be followed, but that the lesser moral laws can be ignored as long as the higher moral law is followed. So they say, because of this, if you're following a higher moral law to protect someone, as Rahab, then it is all right to lie because you're following this high law, and that trumps this lower law. And the graded absolutist would say that she lied in order to save her family. She lied in order to save the spies. Therefore, this lie was justified. This lie was legitimate. This lie was all right, because she was following this higher moral purpose, and so the lie was allowed. Now, there was one preacher that I read about when I was looking at this that said, just suppose that there was someone chasing after me with a shotgun, or someone was chasing after someone else with a shotgun, and as this guy passed me, he said, I hope that when the shotgun follower that is following me, I hope when he gets to you, you'll lie to him about the direction that I took so that he will not catch me. Now, we're made to assume, if this were to happen, that the first guy had no reason for being chased by a shotgun, so he was innocent. We would also have to assume that we would lie for him to protect him from the guy that was following, and that we would be assumed that we would be obligated to help this individual rather than the guy with the shotgun. So this would be the assumption. I would lie to protect the guy that was being chased by the guy with the shotgun. Is there any biblical obligation that would obligate me to that? And of course the answer is no. For one thing, I don't know the situation. Why would I be obligated to assist either one of them not knowing the obligation? But to lie for the first one would be lying to the second. To lie for the first would be lying to the second. And it is wrong to lie. The other position with an ungraded absolutist would be that is called an unqualified absolutist. And the unqualified absolutist would say that lying is always wrong. That lying is never right. That lying is never right. That lying is always wrong. Therefore, one should never lie. This is the exact opposite approach to the other one that said you can lie if you're following after a higher power. And this is exactly what God teaches. God's law is consistent. God says that he does not lie. God tells us not to lie, and he never puts us under an obligation to do wrong or to break his laws and to sin. Doing what is right may put us in a difficult situation. It may put us in a difficult circumstance. But the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 that no temptation has overtaken us except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not allow us to be tempted beyond that if we're able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. So the teaching here is, don't lie. Lying is wrong. Lying is sinful. And depend upon God to make a way of escape for us if we are ever tempted to lie. Have faith in God, trust in God, and obey the commands that God has given us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is it outright to lie? Is there ever a circumstance in which it is all right in a biblical sense for us to lie? Is there ever a circumstance in which we can do something God has commanded us not to do and still be right in the eyes of God? And I don't see that there is.
I don't think there's anything that will destroy our influence quicker than a lie.
No confidence is ever placed in a liar. A Christian is instructed in Ephesians 6 and 14, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." It is against the commandments of God to lie. And there are no exceptions to this. Always tell the truth, because God has never lied to us. God has no lie in Him. God is 100% truthful 100% of the time. And if we are to try to become more God-like, this means that we follow the example that we are given. So the conclusion that I would come to is that lying is sinful in the eyes of God, period. This is biblical outlook, and people conflict over this because there's different feelings and the different thoughts. There's different camps. I want to tell you now about some of the earthly scholars that have also dealt with this question. And there's just as much conflict and controversy with earthly scholars as there is with Bible scholars. A man by the name, a doctor, a professor of philosophy at the University of Texas at Austin, a man by the name of Robert C. Solomon, wrote a book, A Short History of Philosophy. Dr. Solomon, as he begins his writings on this controversial subject, trying to define whether it is all right to lie or whether it is wrong to lie, from a human standpoint, goes back to the impeachment of Bill Clinton after the sexual mess that he got himself into in the White House. And he lied about it. He said it never happened. Well, there was an investigation that followed, as we well remember. And in the investigation, there was proof that came forward that in fact proved that Clinton was lying. There was no doubt he was lying, and he lied from the beginning, and there was no truth in him. So that's when we went to the second defense of the definition of what is. So that was the second thing that we went to. Instead of admitting that he lied, he just went to another defense. But they proved that he lied, and there was an impeachment that was filed against Clinton for his lying. He was never taken out of office, but there was room and there was the authority to impeach him, as I remember. But as you have the two different camps here, and you've got congressmen on one side that says, why are you messing with the man? The economy is good, the economy is strong, our country is at peace, things are going good, our deficit is dropping, he's a good president, he's a good leader, so he did something wrong in his private life, and he lied about it. They say everyone would have lied about it. He lied about it, forget it. But he's publicly, he's done very well, things are strong, so you have to hold him to a standard publicly, a different standard than you hold it to privately. Then the others on the other side of the aisle would say if the president's going to lie about one thing, even a small thing, he's going to lie about anything and everything, and you cannot trust him. Judge Judy says, you lie to me once, I'm through with you, because I don't believe anything you say from there on out. And that's the same thing with Clinton. He lied. We proved it was a lie. And then we proved it was a lie, he went to a different defense. But he did, in fact, lie to the people. Is it ever right to lie? Again, you've got the two camps. Common sense would say, one camp would say, well, common sense says, yes, it's all right to lie. And then you've got the other groups on the other side and say, no, it is never all right to lie. And there's no way to defend the position that's indefensible, because lying is always wrong. They always, and in everything I looked at, all the research I did, they always go back to Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was the Dutch watchmaker, by the way, the first woman watchmaker that was ever licensed, and she lived in the Netherlands during World War II. Corrie ten Boom, and I'm kind of getting off course for a minute, but I think this is an interesting story. Corrie ten Boom was a woman back there, and her family always worked with the disabled and the handicapped, and they protected these people. And then when World War II came into the Netherlands, and the Germans were killing and sending the Jews to concentration camps, the Jews began to come to Corrie ten Boom for asylum. And she granted them asylum. She was part of the resistance. And she would bring these families in, and she would hide them, and then she would get them to the resistance. She would get them out of the country. where they had to get ration cards. When she would go to apply for ration cards, she wouldn't apply for two or three or four or five for her family, but she would apply for 100 ration cards. So the guy that did the ration cards was also involved in this resistance. There was a group of the resistance fighters that built a special secret room into her house so that these Jews could be hidden. Well, everything was going along all right until one of her neighbors turned her in for harboring Jews. And the Nazis knocked upon her door. They arrested her. In fact, they arrested some 30 members of her family. They convicted them, and they sent them to concentration camps. No Jews were ever harmed. The Jews were never found, and the Jews were able to escape. But Corrie Ten Boom and 30 members of her family were convicted and were sent to concentration camps. A clerical mistake allowed Corrie Ten Boom to be discharged. 1 week later, the Nazis killed every woman in her camp, in her party. Corrie Ten Boom lived. She immigrated to America, and she died in California when she was 91 years old. She was a circuit preacher, or not circuit preacher, but she spoke a circuit lecturer, very well known. She wrote books about the things that she did. Every time you get to looking at this situation, everyone goes back to Corrie Ten Boom. They said, of course it's all right to lie. When they knocked on her door, she lied to protect not only her family, but to protect the Jews that she was hiding and she was harboring. And they say, since she did it for a greater good, obviously it is all right. They would say that honesty is relevant. Honesty is contextual. Honesty depends upon the situation. In the situation of Corrie Ten Boom, it was a lie was all right because she was saving herself and these Jews. The next thing that all of the writers and the people talk about when it's talking about a lie is when the wife comes in with a dress and say, do I look fat in this dress? There's no way to answer that question. Maybe they come in with a weird beehive hairdo and say, is this an attractive hairdo? There's no way to answer that question. So do you lie and protect the victim and make them feel better? Or do you answer them with silence? Or do you go ahead and hurt their feelings and tell them the truth? And that is the problem that we get into, and all the philosophers go back to these things when we talk about lying. The consequences are awful. They tell us that we cannot bear false witness in a jury trial because that's wrong. You can't stand on the jury and lie under oath. But if you tell a little white lie to protect someone, then that is all right. It is justified. Other philosophers would argue that lying is wrong. Lying is always wrong. Lying is a breach of trust. It is a principle. It is a personal relationship between people. And lying is wrong, period. So there's two camps in the earthly scholars, even as there is in biblical. Lying undermines relationships by undermining trust. But then the group would say, yeah, but there's private lies and there's personal lies and there's public lies. Private lies are all right because they're not hurting anybody. Public lies are wrong because they take away trust. The public's right is the right to know. Trust is violated by lies. And they say that to invite lies and deception to protect anyone is a violation of the Word of God. So where are we? Earthly scholars disagree. Biblical scholars disagree. A lie is an invitation to lie that is provoked by a breach of sacred personal boundaries. And a lie is against the Word of God. So it's all right to lie about private things, but you have to tell the truth about public things? Is it all right to lie to protect one that you don't want to hurt their feelings, but tell them, no, that is not the right dress for you to wear. I do not like that hair. Is it all right to lie to them to protect their feelings? But we have to tell the truth in public matters. I believe that the way I would understand this is that a lie is a lie is a lie. Period. Lying is forbidden. It's forbidden in the Old Testament. It is forbidden in the New Testament. God is not a liar. God has never told a white lie. God has never told a lie that would save somebody's feelings. God does not lie. The Bible tells us He cannot lie. It tells us, on the other hand, though, that Satan is the father of all lies. So if we lie, we're not following after the commandments of God, but we are, in fact, following at to be beside God is 100% truth all the time. And when we get to thinking about the promises that God has made us, I don't think there's any room for white lies or black lies or blatant lies in the truth that God has commanded. I want God to be truthful with us. And I personally think that we need to be truthful with Him. There it is. Which camp are you in? Because there's two sides to this.